Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a remake that came about because one artist's brother-in-law, also a recording artist, was signed to a label that shelved his version of this particular song. So, she released it and it became a smash. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate the very first merging of rhythm and blues with the traditional island music known as the mambo. It is by a legendary musician who discovered both Etta James and Big Mama Thornton. Later, for our bonus hit at number 6, we will listen to a now classic single from an artist that was introduced to his manager by Keith Richards, recommended to the organizers of the Monterey Pop Festival by Paul McCartney, brought on stage at that same festival by Brian Jones, and booked for the biggest American tour of 1967 with the Monkees. Even with all that support, this song was not a hit when it was released. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present a cover version of a Roger Miller No. 12 country hit from 1969. In its remade form, it became the second posthumous number one hit in chart history. But first, just as we do every week, we start with a single that was, at some point, perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak, and then, pretty soon, simply got older. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a single that was originally released in 1972, and only made it up to number 59 in Cashbox and number 66 in Billboard. The singer and songwriter behind this release played saxophone on the recording, and even though he is quite capable on the piano, he asked Rick Wakeman of Yes to lend his assistance on the now famous piano riff. When the song was re-released in 1975, it did just a little better than it did 3 years earlier, reaching number 41 on the Billboard charts and spending a week at number 40 on the Cashbox chart on its way to a peak of number 38.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up on out of it.
The base I'm going.
was David Bowie with Changes, which spent 1 week at number 40 on the Cashbox survey on its way to a peak of number 38. Even though the chart action on the single was not all that impressive, the airplay it received as an album track from the Hunky Dory album ultimately helped it become number 128 on the Rolling Stone magazine list of the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Universe Top 40.
In 1989, Matt Huseman and Ira Katz, two students at the University of Maryland, started a band that ultimately became the Greenberry Woods, a group that was named for a suburban housing development in Maryland. Huseman's twin brother, Brant Huseman, became their bass player, and fellow student Miles Rosen joined on drums. After honing their skills in college, they were signed to Sire Records. They headlined clubs and toured as an opener with Squeeze and Debbie Harry. In the process, they received a considerable amount of modern rock radio support for their single Trampoline. While we certainly like that song, we believe that their catchy album track Smash Up should have been a worldwide top 20 hit. Scene at the University of Maryland, those were the Greenberry Woods with Smash Up from their album Big Money Item, released back in 1995, the same year they appeared as one of the feature acts on a compilation very near and dear to my heart, Yellow Pills Volume 3.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a remake that existed primarily because the artist sang background on a version of the song shelved by her brother-in-law's record company. Rita Coolidge graduated from Florida State University before becoming a jingle singer in Memphis. After being discovered by Delaney and Bonnie, she relocated to Los Angeles and sang background vocals for rock acts such as Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Joe Cocker, and Leon Russell. Then, a chance meeting she had with Kris Kristofferson at the Los Angeles airport led Kristofferson to get off the plane with her in Memphis rather than continuing on to Nashville. Within a couple of years, Kris and Rita were married. At that same time, Rita's sister, Priscilla, was married to Memphis songwriting and keyboard legend Booker T. Jones. Priscilla and Rita sang background on Booker T.'s updated version of the old Jackie Wilson song, Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher, which Booker T. hoped would be something of a comeback hit for him. However, when that recording was temporarily shelved by a label executive, Rita asked Booker T. if she could use his arrangement to record the song. When he said yes, it was only a matter of time before it hit number 11 and kept on going.
Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before.
Spending a week at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 on her way to number 2, and ultimately reaching number 1 on the Cashbox survey, that was Rita Coolidge with the Booker T. Jones arrangement of Higher and Higher, a single that was ranked as the 8th biggest of the year 1977 by both Billboard and Cashbox.
Number 10.
Now we are up to number 10. From the time that I first heard this song back in the fall of 1984 until a number of years later, I had no idea who released it. Oddly enough, I ultimately discovered that it was released by an act that I had misidentified on his first chart single as well. Back in 1973, a single called Painted Ladies reached number 34 on the Billboard Hot 100. It featured tight harmony and a lead vocal that made me think the song was by America. In fact, I can remember being disappointed that the song was not on the America's Greatest Hits album that I got for Christmas one year. I still never knew that Ian Thomas
sang Painted Ladies until about 10 years later when I bought a repressing of Dancing in the Moonlight by King Harvest and discovered that the flip on the oldie, Painted Ladies, was by Ian Thomas, not America. By that time, I had already heard another song by Ian Thomas that I loved, and once again, I misidentified it. During the fall of 1984, radio stations KWWC and KCOU in Columbia, Missouri, were both spinning what sounded to me like a progressive rock track by the Alan Parsons Project. I always liked it when it came on and wanted to track it down and buy it. When I started looking for it, first by artist, I couldn't find it. Then, when I asked about it by title, no record store clerk I encountered had ever heard of it. Many years passed, during which time I convinced myself that this was not an Alan Parsons record. By the time that I got my very first computer, I still didn't know who sang this particular song. It wasn't America, it wasn't Alan Parsons, and it wasn't Robbie Blunt, the guy who played lead guitar on In the Mood by Robert Plant. Then I heard of this really cool thing called Google that helped track down documents based on word matches. My very first search on Google happened to be as many lyrics of this song that I could remember. Up popped an album cover, a discography, and most importantly, the name of the artist, Ian Thomas.
They are masters in deception. They'll catch you in their cars. They will give you misdirection when you're lost. They thrive on hate and anger. It gives them reason to belong. So riders on dark horses carry on. You can feel them in a cold heart. You can see them in a fire.
An album track that should have been released as a single and should have easily reached number 10 in Billboard and Cashbox. That was Ian Thomas and Riders on Dark Horses.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a single that really did reach number nine in Canada. When this song was first composed back in 1963, Dionne Warwick made a demo of it, but never released it as a single. The following year, soul singer Lou Johnson did a version that peaked at number 49 on the Billboard Hot 100. Later, in 1964, British vocalist Sandy Shaw recorded the song and sang it on the TV show Ready, Steady, Go. That helped propel it to number one on the British charts in Canada and South Africa. However, in the U.S., her version stalled out at number 52 on the Billboard chart and number 49 in Cashbox. In 1970, R.B. Greaves recorded a version of the same song in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and his release made it to number 27 in Billboard. Then, in 1983, a British synthesizer duo, Naked Eyes, completely rearranged the song and made it their own. When asked later about their version, Naked Eyes vocalist Peter Byrne stated, quote, "The record was recorded at Abbey Road, and we were invited to a party downstairs with Paul McCartney and many other stars. When we returned upstairs to the studio around 1 a.m., I decided to have a go at the vocal. It was the first time I had ever recorded a vocal in one take." Close quote.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me, and every step I take reminds me of just how we used to be.
Hal David song that reached number 2 in New Zealand, number 7 in Australia, number 7 in Cashbox, number 8 in Billboard, and number 9 in Canada. That was Naked Eyes and Always Something There to Remind Me.
Universe Top 40.
Modern and great. Should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by the Australian psychedelic band The Love Tones. Signed first to Bomp Records and later to Planting Seeds Records, the Love Tones were active from 2002 until 2008. Both Rolling Stone magazine and Cream gave positive reviews to their first album, with songwriter Matthew Toe even being compared to Ray Davies. After appearing on a compilation with Mercury Rev and Sonic Youth, the Love Tones released an EP that kept their momentum going. By 2008, they hit their stride in the studio with this album track, Journeyman, which was played on several underground stations throughout the southeastern United States. I happened to catch it one day and was immediately impressed. By the time I was able to track a copy down, the band apparently was in the process of breaking up. Both modern and great, and should have reached number 8. That was the Love Tones with Journeyman.
All Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is by a composer, arranger, and band leader who discovered or scored arrangements for so many of the highly successful American R&B artists that he has since been called the Godfather of Rhythm and Blues. Giannis Alexander Viliotis was born in Mission Viejo, California, on December 28, 1921, to parents of Greek origin. His father owned a grocery store, and his mother was a painter. Because of the location of his father's grocery store, the young Giannis and his two siblings grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood in Berkeley, California. He started his journey in music by playing drums with a swing band known as the West Oakland House Rockers. When Giannis began his professional career, he took the stage name of Johnny Otis. He formed his own big band in 1945, experiencing success early on with the big band hit Harlem Nocturne. He hired singers for his big band, including Esther Phillips and the vocal group known as the Robins, who were later called the Coasters. In 1951, Johnny released Mambo Boogie, which was the first record to unite rhythm and blues and island music. Following his move to Mercury Records, he produced and co-wrote the debut record for Etta James, Dance With Me Henry. Likewise, in 1953, he produced and played drums on Big Mama Thornton's recording of Hound Dog. This led to a legal dispute with Lieber and Stoller, who prevailed in a suit that prevented Johnny from capitalizing financially on the later, more successful Elvis Presley version of the same song. One of Johnny's 1952 compositions for the Royals, Every Beat of My Heart, later became the very first hit for Gladys Knight and the Pips. As Johnny became more involved in the production side of music, he toured less. As an A&R man for King Records, he discovered Jackie Wilson, Hank Ballard, and Little Willie John. He then worked in television with his own show, all the while hosting a radio show on KFOX in the Los Angeles area. In 1958, Johnny had a major hit on the Capitol label with Willie and the Hand Jive, which peaked at number 9 on the pop charts and went to number 1 on the R&B charts. Throughout the 70s and 80s, he released studio and live albums and hosted a rhythm and blues show on the LA radio station KPFK. Beginning in the early 90s, his radio show was broadcast live from his family's market in Sonoma County. His show lasted through 2006. Johnny Otis died on January 17, 2012. Our little slice of heaven today is that burst of creativity where he combined R&B and island music for the very first time back in 1951, Mambo Boogie. Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, that was Johnny Otis and his unique recording of Mambo Boogie. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Liz from France sent us a message through Mixcloud stating that she liked the stereo versions of our recent shows. Thank you for your kind gesture, Liz. We hope that you have a wonderful week ahead and that what you hear on Mixcloud continues to make you happy. Roberto, in his reception report from Italy, states that he heard our 6070 broadcast with his ICOM R71 receiver and 30-meter long wire. The quality signal, according to the SINPO code, was 45444. He said that he was happy to be sending us this report and says, ciao from Italy. Well, Roberto, we appreciate your report, and we send you greetings in return from the United States. Dennis from Missouri sent us a message on Facebook. He stated that he would not have guessed in a million years that the number 10 from a couple of weeks ago was by BTO. He also appreciated hearing the Piccadilly Circus track as he saw them perform live many years ago and loved their version of She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. Thank you so much for your comments, Dennis. We hope that you will hear something you like in the future. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's legendary guitarist certainly qualifies. In fact, this artist became legendary almost immediately after beginning his solo career. He was introduced to his manager by Keith Richards, recommended to the organizers of the Monterey Pop Festival by Paul McCartney. brought on stage in Monterey by Brian Jones and booked for the biggest American tour of 1967 with the Monkees. Even with all that support and lots of FM airplay on progressive stations, this song was not a hit when Reprise Records released it in late 1967 with Hey Joe on the flip side. The album that featured those tracks, Are You Experienced, fared considerably better, reaching number 5 in the United States and number 2 in England. As a steady seller over time, that album long ago passed the 5 million mark in vinyl sales. WAKY Louisville played almost immediately after it was released. That was the Jimi Hendrix Experience and Foxy Lady.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen and you are listening to Alt Universe Top 40. A few months ago, I played the Black Oak, Arkansas cover version of the old Laverne Baker hit, Jim Dandy. While there were no permanent female members of the group Black Oak, Arkansas, that particular single featured a line at the end of each chorus sung by a solo female voice. That voice belonged to Ruby Starr. While Ruby toured constantly with Black Oak, Arkansas, she also worked on a solo career. She released a cover version of Paul McCartney's Maybe I'm Amazed that we will play at some point on this show. Many of her recording sessions took place in Memphis, and she often used members of the Hot Dogs to arrange and play the backing tracks during those sessions. In 1977, signed to Capitol Records, Ruby entered Ardent Studios in Memphis to cut her album Smoky Places. One of the songs that she chose to cover was the song Time to Hide, written by Denny Lane, at the time a member of Wings. With Deke Richards producing, David Mayo on bass, and Greg Reading and the ever-present Jack Holder on guitars, here is the other voice of Black Oak, Arkansas, Ruby Starr, with an album track that should have reached number 5 on all 3 major American charts.
Thank you.
number 5, that was Ruby Starr, backed by a couple of hot dogs and her cover of Denny Lane's Time to Hide.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we will play a single that charted considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Today, though, we have a release by a British new wave act that really did make it to number 4 on the Billboard charts in the United States, but unbelievably only hit number 16 in the UK. Back in 1985, the Howard Jones album Dream Into Action began to sell, thanks to airplay on the track Things Can Only Get Better. That album also contained a track called No One Is to Blame, which began to get noticed. However, several months after the album was out on the market, Howard, along with producer Hugh Padgham and Phil Collins, went back into the recording studio to completely re-record it. That remake was released by Elektra Records and shot straight up to number 1 on the Adult Contemporary chart in the United States. It also peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. In England, surprisingly, it stalled out at number 16, meaning that the album Dream Into Action contained 4 other hit singles that all did better in England than Howard's most lasting American single.
You can look at the menu, but you just can't eat. You can feel the cushions, but you can't have a seat. You can dip your foot in the pool, but you can't have a swim. You can feel the punishment, but you can't commit the sin. And you want her, and she wants you. We want everyone, and you want her, and she wants you.
With a song that hit number 4 in the United States and number 16 in England, that was Howard Jones and No One Is to Blame.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Dallas, Texas. In the early 90s, there was a thriving indie rock scene in Dallas that revolved around the upstart record label known as Dragon Street Records. I had never heard of the Dragon Street label until trend vocalist Matt Collier and I saw one of their acts, the Bat Mastersons, open a show for the Posies at the New York club called Woody's. At that show, we happened to run into the president of Dragon Street Records, whose name, unfortunately, I'm unable to recall. During our conversation with him, he handed us a cassette that contained several songs by another one of his bands, the Shag Nasties. As soon as I put that cassette in later, I realized that I was hearing a song that WEVL in Memphis was already playing. The song was called Mystery to Me, which sounded exactly like a hit single. Listening to it all these years later, it certainly should have reached number three. Here are the Shag Nasties.
Don't say you know me now when I know that you don't. Don't say you'll come.
With our three from way downtown, those were the Shag Nasties with their release on Dragon Street Records, Mystery to Me.
Universe Top 40.
Number two.
Now we are up to number two, which means that we are going to play a song that we believe should have hit number one. And this single did, in fact, hit number one on the Soul chart. But on the pop charts in Billboard and Cashbox, it stalled at number two. The record itself was released on the Stax label, which usually meant that it would have been recorded in Memphis. However, this particular Stax single was released and distributed out of Memphis, but was recorded in Jackson, Mississippi, at the Malico Studios. Producer Wardell Kazursky assembled a tight soul band with punchy horns. Not the Memphis horns, but an ensemble that sounded exactly like them. The actual players are believed to be saxophonists Hugh Garraway and Jimmy Honeycutt, along with trumpeter Perry Lomax. The vocal performance by Gene Knight is one for the ages, and if there were any real justice in the music world, this would have been a multi-week number one single on the Billboard Hot 100, just as it was on the Soul chart.
The big stuff. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You're never gonna get my love. Poor girls cry when they try to keep you happy. They just try to keep you satisfied. It's the big stuff. Tell me,
who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You're never gonna.
want love in return.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know this is a lesson, Mr. Bixer, you have learned. Mr. Bixer, tell me,
who do you think you are?
You're never gonna get my love,
Mr. Big Stuff. You're never gonna break my heart, Mr. Big Stuff.
You're never gonna. With the number one soul song of the year 1971, that was Jean Knight and her classic Stax single that should have reached number one on the pop charts in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, Mr. Big Stuff. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. This truly was an instance of the perfect merging of the right song for the right vocalist at the right time. Earlier in the countdown, I mentioned that Rita Coolidge ultimately married singer-songwriter Kris Kristofferson after they met at the Los Angeles airport, and that Kristofferson got off the plane with her in Memphis rather than flying on to his original intended destination of Nashville. Kristofferson, prior to meeting Rita, and for the several years following his college graduation and military service, had been writing songs for several Nashville-based artists, including Roger Miller. A song that Kristofferson wrote with Monument Records founder Fred Foster ultimately was picked up by Roger Miller and released in 1969 on the Smash label. It was promoted strictly as a country record. It did pretty well, hitting number 12 on the country chart and threatening to cross over by nudging its way up to number 122 on the Billboard Pop Survey. A year later, and only a few days before her death, vocalist Janis Joplin recorded her own version of that same Kristofferson Foster composition. It was a complete triumph in every way. Sadly, Janis never lived to see and experience the chart success of her amazing record. But the impact of that song remains to this day. And certainly, with no disrespect to Roger Miller, practically all music fans around the world think of Janis Joplin's one-of-a-kind voice any time they hear or quote the most famous line of the song, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose."
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and us feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine, California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, your Bobby baby kept me from the whole world. One day I'm near Selena Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I train body next to mine. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy, loud when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby. La 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 la
Wall of Perfection track at number one. That was Janis Joplin with the second posthumous number one in Billboard history, Me and Bobby McGee, a song that became a hit thanks to early radio support from KSAN in San Francisco and WRBB in Boston. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static. Alt-Universe.